Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, what a great week again. Feeling like springtime around here.
Oh, I've missed it.
Yep, it's ready. I went out and got my hair cut this last week. Feeling good. Get out and actually do something.
Yeah, get out and enjoy the outside world.
Absolutely. So that's been good. And, man, I've been busy working on the bathroom project and taking on some of those things and decking projects coming along and got some new partners on that. So wait till you see some of the new stuff we're coming out with. We're going to have a good time. Garage doors open today.
Right? Yeah. First time in like, I don't know, 7-8 months.
I know
done it.
Done
it with the garage door open.
It's yeah, good. So it's good. So feel free to wave at us when you go by. You see us probably in the garage right now, but I'm not going to give you the address.
No, that's for you special listeners that know where we are.
Absolutely. Well, other than that, man, it's just been busy. You know, I had a rough week this week with some... Oh, here comes the police. I got
to
go.
Get used to it, man. This is how we like to record when the weather's nice. We get some ambient noise.
Absolutely. It reminds me of one of our songs we did with my band, actually. It's called Fremont Chic that we did. We'll put that in the show.
I was going to say, we should get it in the show.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show. But anyway, long story short.
Man.
They're coming for us. We'll be talking about safety here a little bit later in the show. So... Yeah. Fitting that we have that going on in the background.
Absolutely. That was a fire truck that just went by, and they respond to incidents that we will talk about here in just a couple seconds.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for that. But, you know, had some battles with my cell phone provider, and you can listen to the midweek special on that. Be careful on your warranties and extended warranties and stuff out there. I got burned. I don't want to see anybody else get burned out there. So make sure that you know what you're doing and go back and listen to the two podcasts ago. You'll hear what we talk about in the midweek special. But make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And join Around the House Nation. We've got a busy group going over there. And, man, I'm even on Clubhouse doing a couple things each week. I just had a couple great interviews this last week that I was getting interviewed on design and construction and that kind of stuff. So look me up on Clubhouse.
Absolutely.
I'll be hanging out over there as well.
And we want to answer your home improvement questions. The way that that works is you give us a call here in studio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with any of your DIY or home improvement needs. Our number here is 971-233-8992. Also, our home base where you can find the podcast for that midweek special that Eric was talking about, go over to aroundthehouseonline.com, click on the ATH podcast. You'll see everything we put out every week.
We'll talk about one of the, somebody wrote into the show. We had some questions
nice,
that have been going
email.
Back and forth. So we got a nice little email string back and forth. We'll talk about a little bit later in the show today. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the things that go into spring cleaning a lot, that pressure washer.
Yeah, outdoor.
Outdoor is going to clean the muck off. You know, here where we're at on the west side of the Pacific Northwest, we get this slime that grows on everything.
Yep.
And it's going to be on everything from your deck to the rocks to the car to everywhere else. A little bit different. I grew up in Eastern Washington over in K1A country. In that area, it was just a layer of baked on dirt.
Yeah, it's because it's dry.
Dry desert. So we're going to talk about a little bit about some pressure washer safety here, because you can do more damage than what you're cleaning if you're not careful with that. So let's hit on a few of my really good basics right here. Pressure washers do a lot of good things. But if you think about it, what's a water jet? They use water jets to use water to cut through things like, well, my porcelain countertop material.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a lower quality pressure stream that's hitting it. So you can do a lot of damage with a pressure washer. First off, never pressure wash a composite shingled roof. So that is your three tab, that typical nailed up there composite tar based with granular roof.
Okay.
You will void every single manufacturer's warranty out there by getting somebody up on it and pressure washing. Now, if you've got moss or buildup up there, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
Pressure washing is not one of them.
Not one of them. You will do a ton of damage and void that warranty, because that pressure washer is going to knock the granules off. The granules on there that, you know, it looks like almost like fine kitty litter, depending on the color you have.
Mm-hmm.
Those granules are there to protect the roof.
Yep.
You knock those off, you're toast. So no, you don't want to take that 60-year roof and make it a 20-year roof with the pressure washer and not have a warranty to back it up.
Yep.
So that's the first one there. Now, here's where you got to be careful with, and it depends on the material that you're talking about doing. A lot of people are going, I'm going to pressure wash the deck and restain it. Depending on the deck.
Depending on the wood.
Yeah. If you're down in the south and you've got southern yellow pine or on the east coast, it's a little bit harder than our western red cedar out here. That cedar can get chewed up with just the water. It'll raise the grain up. Now you're going to have to go back and re-sand it. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to sand the deck unless they have to.
You're adding more to your project.
Yeah, and so you can really tear stuff up. I have seen some beautiful decks that got tore up with water pressure, so be very careful. If you're going to use it, make sure you bring it back. Test it on a sample in an area that you might have to, you know, if you're in an area that you're going to have to sand because it's already tore up anyway, test it there. Make sure you know, are you staying a foot, 18 inches away? Where are you going to be at? Don't get it right up on there because you'll raise that grain up and you're going to have a mess. Nobody wants it looking bad. That way, when you put the stain on it, it doesn't look all tore up, and it will. So be really careful with what you do with that. Wood can be torn up pretty easily, just like the side of your house. Mm-hmm. This is where you got to be careful, too. A lot of people, oh, I'm going to pressure wash the side of your house. Be careful. You can now put high-pressure water up underneath that siding.
Yeah, the siding. Yep.
Now you're creating water damage down the side of that. Or you tear off the stucco, or, you know, you're blasting a bunch of stuff off there. You can drill a hole right through the side of vinyl siding really quickly with that because it's brittle.
Yep.
And you hit that with that, boom, you're going to rip off siding. I've seen a guy rip off huge sections of vinyl siding because he's got the pressure washer out there with the high-pressure tip on it. You got a heck of a mess.
Well, it's not made to be under that much pressure.
No, not at all. And so here's the thing, too, and again, concrete can work really good.
Mm-hmm.
You can also damage it, you know, depending on what's been done to it. What I like to see with concrete is I have this for doing my concrete driveway and stuff. It's a round disc, oh, probably 16, 18 inches around. It snaps on the end of the pressure washer. It has a spinning wand and a cage kind of over the top of it to keep me from getting wet. So it's always moving in a rotary fashion. It is great for doing those exposed aggregate driveways, walkways, those kind of things. And as long as you're careful with it, it doesn't put enough pressure down to really gouge up and chew stuff up. I've seen some damage done just from people going around and getting too much into that driveway. And now you're taking like an exposed aggregate, you're knocking the rocks out of it. Just a little bit of moderation goes a long way. Now, if you've got a really kind of medium or light duty pressure washer, it might not be that big a deal. It might not be putting out enough pressure to make a difference with it. I've got a big gas power one. I could dig a hole in that concrete with that thing if I wanted to. But I've got a new Greenworks one I'm going to be testing out here that I'm looking forward to that has half the pressure on it. So it's going to be a lot easier to clean that with because I'm not going to get it too close and do some damage.
More power isn't always the right answer.
No. Now, what I like about that one is it's dual fuel. So it will run as a plug-in device.
Okay.
Or it'll run off battery. So, you know, my driveway is long.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to go out and clean up the mailboxes and that kind of stuff up there, or the walkway up there.
You're not going to be able to be corded.
Exactly. But I like that one, too, because it actually brings, I can bring a pail of water up there. It doesn't take a hose. It has a siphon tube that I can put it into a five-gallon bucket.
And it'll be mobile, pull out of that. Go wherever you want.
I can do whatever I want. So if you've got that dock or boat or something like that, you can put it in the back of your, good to go with your RV to clean it up, where you don't have to worry about starting that thing up and making a lot of noise. And it's going to be quiet because it's electric.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a new one I'm going to be testing. I got the box sitting right over here that can't wait to get that one out and play with it.
You just got a few fun things from Greenworks.
Yeah, you saw my Greenworks pile when you pulled up the other day. Yep. So I got that one. And then one of the other ones I have is the motorized wheel cart.
Mm, yep.
And you see that big pile of 2 yards of bark sitting up there in the front? That's an upcoming project.
It's going to get some work.
Yeah. I was waiting for that to come in so I could do that. But
we'll talk about that in a few shows.
That's another show. But it's one of those things that, you know, with pressure washers, I just really want people to use it with some common sense and be careful. You know, if you've got a metal roof up there, you got to be careful. But anytime you're up with a high-pressure piece, cool. Any kind of a tool like that on the roof of a house, you got to be a little bit careful. So just, you know, brick, those kind of things, it can work really good. Just a little bit of maintenance and make sure that you're using that as directed. You're going to be a lot better off because nobody wants to see you do more work just because you're trying to clean it up.
Don't do more damage than you're trying to
right?
fix or clean.
Oh, totally brutal when we see that happen. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about why the fire truck was going by, and we were saying, hey, this is coming up.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
I know, and it's that time of year, which just makes me sick to my stomach. Good news is, more of Around the House just after we return.
Another CD bar, $10,000 of gear in my beat-up car. I'll never give up the fight. Spend my money on gas and I'll make tonight. You know it could be worse, I could be digging a ditch. Got a $20 gig, but the chicks think I'm rich.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And all the social media places out there you can find us. But more importantly, follow the podcast out there. If you're catching on the radio, continue to catch us on one of our favorite stations out there. But if you miss part of the show, like this last segment, don't worry. You can go back and catch it on the podcast anywhere you catch the podcast.
And please, wherever, if it's Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, go ahead and subscribe or follow or give us a review. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Absolutely. We've had some great reviews out there, so that is good stuff. Well, today on this little segment here, I wanted to talk about, now that it's springtime,
mm-hmm.
and you hear in the sirens in the background still,
yep.
I don't know what's going on in the neighborhood, but window safety is something that we preach a lot of this time of year.
Now, don't get me. So before I was a journalist, I heard this story a lot, and I was like, come on, do I really need to continue to hear about young children falling out of windows? Like, this seems like it's common sense. Then I worked in news, and I realized just how big of an issue this really is. Every year, multiple kids fall out of windows just because there's not a window lock, and you want to have the window open because it's a nice day out, and I get that. But you got to be safe.
You got to be safe. And, I mean, you can get on Amazon now, anywhere in the country, and order 8 window locks for $12.
Mm-hmm.
$12.48
right
to
now.
Be exact, yeah. Right now. So there's really not an excuse not to go out and do it. Now, here's what it is. I mean, that's why, you know, Eric Clapton wrote that hit, Tears in Heaven. His son accidentally fell out of a high-rise window. You know, horrible situation. But these are all 100% preventable. A window screen is not something that keeps people in. It's what keeps bugs out.
Yep. And trust me, as a kid, you like to press your face up against that screen. I don't know why, but I remember doing it. And all it takes is for that to give and you're in for a rough day.
Man, it is. And so that's what I'm worried about. So parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, if you have small kids over at your house and you've got a window where they're playing that's over a normal window height, just put them on there and keep safe. Now, a lot of parents go, oh, I got this. No problem. I put a dresser.
Put a dresser up.
Dresser up in front of the bed.
No, that's a staircase.
Yeah, right, Dane?
Yeah, yes. I've told this story like once, and you never forget.
But
yeah,
yes, I know it.
I climbed up my dad's dresser, and it fell onto me, and I was stuck under the dresser at like 4 years old until he came home.
Yeah, not a good situation.
No.
You know, and again, anything stacked in front of the window is just helping somebody get up. And so grandparents, especially out there, I'd love for you guys to take a few minutes. Jump online, go to your home improvement store, wherever you do. You know, usually they all have them. Get those things installed. And yes, it can take a minute to undo them as an adult in case there's a fire. But really, I just don't want to see any more kids falling out of windows. And it's so easily prevented, you know. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, people, oh, I'm going to air the house out for a few minutes. It's going to be fine.
All it takes is a couple seconds.
Yep. So make sure that you've got those window locks on there. It's just one of those things. And, I mean, it's $12.48.
For eight?
For eight of them. That'll do eight windows. Come on. How easy is that?
Yeah. For under $20, you can have your whole house ready to go. And, yeah, especially grandparents. I understand if they're annoying and you don't want to unlatch them. Just put them on before the kids get there. Take them off when the kids leave.
Yeah, it's really simple. So let's spend some time, save some lives out there. I'm so tired of seeing every year in our area, which means in your area, you're probably seeing the same thing. If it gets nice outside, people crank that window open, and bad things happen. Let's stop those bad things from happening.
Oh, yeah, and we've talked about this for years. As long as I've been on the show, we touch on this multiple times a year because it matters, and it's not changing, and we need to find a way to change this whole narrative that we need to fix this.
We do. Now, let's talk a little bit about, let's transition here and kind of reset and talk about earthquake safety. Because it's interesting, when you look across the country, there are so many areas that actually have earthquake zones. And it's kind of shocking sometimes of how many places there are, you know?
You don't realize how many tectonic plates make up.
Man, I mean, of course, the West Coast.
Yes.
Obvious, right? But now you got the Midwest out there. You even got, you know, you got Colorado, Idaho, Montana. Of course, you get into Nevada, Utah, and even into kind of that, you know, Colorado / New Mexico area. But Wyoming's got it. Now you're getting into Texas.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Kansas. Yeah.
I mean, except for you up in the kind of upper Midwest and the Great Lakes regions, which doesn't have a lot up there, everybody else has some. I mean, you're getting into West Virginia, Tennessee, and South Carolina. There's a lot of places, and then you start getting up into the Northeast, a little upper New York.
Mm-hmm.
You got some there. Vermont got some there. So you got to be really careful with this stuff, and all it takes is one. All it takes is one. So I wanted to talk about kind of the kid safety and earthquake safety a little bit because, you know, you see all these dresser recalls from places like IKEA and things like that. It's because you've got dressers that can tip over. And why not go out and get that quick hardware to turn around? You could attach that dresser to the wall, that high boy dresser, the low one, whatever.
Secure it.
If you got bookcases, screw it into the studs. If you want to be able to move it around, put some of those straps on there. It's really easy to do. And it's one less thing that can come over in case of an earthquake. And that's one of those things that I think it's really going to help people out if we can get some of these things tied down a little bit. Because if we can get them tied down, they're not going to fall over on kids. And in an earthquake situation, you're going to be safer there. So that's one of those things that I think is really easy that we can fix with, again, $20 worth of parts, right?
Just a little preparedness.
And that way you're keeping that over. When we come back, I really want to talk about earthquake preparedness, which kind of transitioned to some storm as well, just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, this is Farewell Angelina. and you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth. Ooh, it makes me want
to pour gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Well, we've been sitting here talking about, you know, a little bit of earthquake safety and stuff, but, you know, when we get emails that come in, I want to kind of hit the pause button on the earthquake stuff. Got a great email in here this last week from Maggie, and she said, "Hey, Eric, question. In our garage in this particular area, we have an upright freezer. We'd like to put an extra refrigerator in the same space. There is one single outlet where the freezer is currently plugged in. About 2 feet away is a double outlet, which currently has a fluorescent fixture plugged into it. My question is, if we plug the refrigerator into the single outlet, then plug both the refrigerator and the fluorescent into the double outlet, is that going to overload the circuit? They are all in line? Question mark. Want to make sure that's done safely. We don't have to create a fire hazard. If that's the case, we'll just skip the fridge, although it would be handy. Your thoughts?" Now, this is an interesting one.
Well, you want most things to be, because I know we've talked about it before, you want things to be on their own circuit, you don't want to overload an outlet, so this is...
You know, and here's the thing, when you're in a garage, it gets interesting, but generally when you do a kit remodel, code says that you have to have each appliance on its own circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Refrigerator, dedicated circuit. Dishwasher, dedicated circuit. All those things. So you don't want to put that refrigerator and the freezer on the same circuit, really. That's just, you're asking for problems.
Yeah.
A lot of power, and, you know, you don't want to have those things both kicking out at the same time and pulling too much power. So you want those to be on, and that's really easy to test to see. You can put a test light in there, click the breaker off, and go, okay, which one's off? Are they both in the same circuit? If they're both in the same circuit, yeah, I'm going to tell you no. They're on different circuits. Now it's questionable. Now you might be able to make it work. But generally, if you're in the garage where there's an outlet like that, many times that's where the circuit panel is too. So if you've got that out there, I'll be honest, I would just run a new outlet for that fridge and put it where you want to be.
Yeah, that wouldn't cost too much money.
No.
It's super close to the panel. So
as long as it's super close to the panel and you've got access to do it, my first recommendation would be to have somebody add in
a new circuit,
and then you're covered. Then it doesn't matter. Your freezer is obviously working on it because it's been there. And then you can do the fridge the right way. And if you've got a way to do water and you want to have ice in the door or water in the door for out in the garage too, that's great. That can be great if you love to entertain, having that extra water line. So you've got two ice makers in the house.
Especially if you use the garage as a gathering place.
Yeah. So not bad if that's what it's for. So you're right to ask that question. You don't want two on there, you know. And you're right. It can be kind of tough because if you've got a GFCI outlet out there and you're plugging that into, those don't like heavy-duty appliances.
No,
they don't.
Kick off.
They love to kick off. They love to burn up. So you're right to ask that question because it's that catch-22. And those GFCIs generally need to be in the garage because that could be a potential wet area.
Mm-hmm.
So you get caught up in a little bit of a catch-22, but I'd love to have that refrigerator on its own circuit out there and definitely different than that
freezer.
All right, Maggie, hope that answers your question. Hey, if you got a question of your own out there, make sure you hit us up aroundthehouseonline.com. You can contact us there, and we'll happy to answer that question for you and make sure you get it 100% the direction you want it.
Absolutely. And if you've got something that's maybe a little in-depth and you kind of need to get into the weeds with Eric a little bit about it and you don't want to do the email back and forth, go ahead and give us a call here in the studio. The number's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call us anytime and leave a message. Our number is 971-233-8992.
You got it. And we will help you from there. Well, let's get back to
earthquake readiness.
Let's get back to that earthquake readiness. Now, here's one of the things that happens and with any natural disaster, and it kind of fits that same way. You know, we were just talking about making sure things are tied down. And, you know, if you've got that cluttered home, that's all going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it kind of crosses over into some of the same storm prep too, because I tell you what, when you don't have power for a number of days, that can be a problem. We saw that here.
We'll just ask Texas.
Yeah, look at Texas, you know. So make sure you've got all the provisions you need, whether it's a earthquake, a hurricane, tornado, whatever.
Flood, anything.
It could be, if you're in a natural disaster area, make sure you're ready and have plenty of drinking water. I've got about, not a quarter mile away, but pretty close. I've got a really big lake. And I also have one of the best water filters known to mankind. I have water stored up.
You can literally scoop water out of the lake, let the filter do its work, and you have drinking water.
Yep. I've got two big water sources that are walking distance around here. Mm-hmm. And I've got a nice big 80-gallon water tank. I'm good. I can handle that.
You're prepared.
I'm prepared for that.
But are you the listener?
Yes. So that's where you really want to make sure that you're staying safe for your family. Do you have food? Do you have all those things put away? And I'm not talking about having to go out and get a bunch of prepping stuff and get crazy with this. But really, just make sure you've got the basics, because all it takes, I mean, I was in the Nisqually earthquake up in Seattle. I was driving across the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. What was the first thing I noticed after the world stopped shaking? Boy, cell phone sure didn't work.
Yeah.
Everybody was calling. It would took me about 24 hours to be able to check in with family on cell phone to be able to sit there. And it's no different now. I mean, when we
that
have...
That probably hasn't changed.
No, you know how I can tell it hasn't changed? Is because when our power went down here, we had the big blackout here in Portland this last year with the ice storm. You know, we had half of Portland down.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a call out? Everybody was using it for streaming, watching their Netflix, everything else, and calling everybody. There was no chance that you were going to use that for more than a minute or two. I could get on a phone call, but the connection was so bad, you'd cut out. So it is not a reliable device in a national emergency situation like that. So make sure you've got a radio or something like that that you can communicate and at least get information. You're not going to be able to maybe call out, but maybe you'll have internet. You can receive information, so that could be good. And that way you can get to your local, you know, find out where the everything else is, and come up with a neighborhood plan. A neighborhood plan is you and your neighbors getting together and saying, okay, if we have a natural disaster, we're all meeting at the park.
That's home base.
Figure out where home base is for your neighborhood. That way, you know, maybe somebody needs a chainsaw. Maybe somebody needs some help doing something, help fixing something, whatever it is. Help each other out. Be good neighbors. A group of you can get a lot of things done.
Well, and if you think about it and you have that set up, you can tell if maybe one of your neighbors is in distress or needs help because they aren't showing up. It's been hours and you're at the home base. You're like, okay, guys, let's get a group together, go over to his house, see what's wrong.
Where's Mrs. Smith that's 82 years old?
Absolutely.
Anybody check on her? That's the stuff that you want to be able to do in your neighborhood. I mean, we've got a great tight-knit neighborhood here. That would be great for us to continue that kind of thing here. We've got some of that here, but I want to take it to the next level. My old neighborhood, yeah, we had that. We had a place, we had a group, we had people that met, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it's good to keep on top of that stuff. But really when it comes down to that, if you've got an older house, let's talk a little bit here through this segment into the next segment. I want to touch on this because old homes are not tied down to the foundation unless they've been modified. What do I mean by that? Homes before, in many places in the country before 1975, didn't actually bolt the wood to the concrete or the block or whatever the foundation is. They built it up. There could be a couple nails sitting there, and it just the weight of the home holds it on there. Well, I've seen plenty of hurricane, tornadoes, earthquakes, where you literally have a house that's upside down in the middle of the street intact.
Yep.
It just rolled over. It's playing dead in the middle of the street. Nobody wants that.
Nope.
And it's so easy to do an earthquake retrofit where you tie that house to the foundation, especially if you're doing a remodeling project. I mean, that's a huge one, getting that tied together. So if you can tie that home to the foundation, they make great clips for that that actually tie that wood sill, bottom of the wall to the foundation, you're good to go. Mine's bolted down. It's not awesome, but it's bolted down. As I do remodeling stuff around here, I will throw in more bolts, but it is fastened, and my house was built in the 70s, so it's good, but you really want it to be awesome.
Well, and that's something I've never done. I imagine it's spendy, But think about it, if you live anywhere near a natural disaster, you're saving your home. How can you put a price on that?
It might only cost you $3,000 or $4,000, depending on the house.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if you've got a brick foundation, if you've got stone, if you've got some of the clay block stuff, of course it's going to be a lot different.
Or damaged foundation. You're going to have to fix it and then do it.
Oh, yeah. So that's another one of those things that you really got to pay attention to.
Very important.
Yeah. You don't want to have this beautiful house. And do you have earthquake insurance? There's my question. Who has it? Are you a renter? You should probably have earthquake insurance, too, to make sure that your stuff inside your house is covered during an earthquake. You know, I mean, my buddy Scotty, who's been on, you know, been and listened to the show before. I grew up with him. He was down in the Northridge quake and that big apartment that collapsed. Mm-hmm. That was his apartment. So those things happen to people, and I just want to make sure that we think ahead. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about gas shutoff valves, because if you've got natural gas, you don't want to have that thing broken off in your house and the wall filling the house full of natural gas. So there's a cool little product that you can mount up there right on the outside of your house that'll turn it off automatically. That's kind of cool. So if there's something that can help you do that, we'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend. Hey, make sure you like us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, and join Around the House Nation. That's our closed group where we share our projects, funny stories, our wins, our fails, just no politics.
That's our one rule. We're on all sorts of social media, Instagram, Clubhouse, LinkedIn. But if you really want the home base for everything Around the House with Eric G, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. You'll find the podcast there. You'll find Eric's video segments. You'll be able to call us or send us an email. And also, we have a store up there, so you can get some Around the House swag.
You got it. And we do have another rule on Around the House Nation. That's kind of that no business self-promotion.
I mean, well, yeah, and
you know what I mean.
And we don't even really do it much. Like, I would say that we are the only ones that really should be able to do it on our own page, but we don't even post the podcast up there every week. That is really our community page to share your projects. This isn't a place really for us or anyone else to be
pitching you on there. So it was kind of ironic that last week we had my rant at the end of the show, and if you listen to that, and then one of the people posts something up as a self-promotion piece. It was just super full circle. So it had to, and to be honest, I hadn't even caught it yet. I was doing something else, and my phone starts blowing up going, they didn't even listen to the show, obviously, because they wouldn't have posted up. My phone was blowing up. I had dozens of texts of people I know going, really? I'm like, oh, sorry, got it, thanks.
I missed it. You texted me later that day, and you're like, I had to do this. And I'm like, oh, sounds good. Okay, that's
fine. Yeah, it was pretty good. But anyway, well, hey, let's get back. Let's reset here and get back to, before we run out of time, talking about getting your house earthquake ready. You know, you can put in one of those earthquake shutoff devices on your gas meter. They're really cool. But here's the one problem that I see with them.
Gas should really be one of the first things you think of. In the event of any real natural disaster, you need to shut that off.
Yeah, especially earthquake. I mean, if you've got no damage to the house, it's not that big a deal. But really, if you've got earthquake and you don't know its system, I get shutting it off. But here's the problem. There are times that you might have a light quake, nothing wrong with your house. Now you don't have gas. Now you can't cook on the stove. Now you can't cook on the, you know, out in the barbecue if you're using that. Now you don't have any hot water or heat. So these are things you got to have some understanding with, because in many municipalities, they want to come by and test your home before they logically turn it back on.
Understandable.
Right? Makes sense?
Yeah.
Problem is, if you've got 100,000 people in your metro area with gas, there's a long waiting list, like it was a vaccine, to try to get people out there to turn that on. So that's one of those things that you could be really careful with. I like it, but you might not have gas for a few weeks.
And you need
just
to understand
make sure that. that's the bad side to that.
And
so
that's not,
understand that.
And I, having worked in news and seeing stuff like wildfires or whatnot, it's easy to get upset at the company because you haven't gotten, it's been a week or two. You need to understand this going into it. It's going to take time. Mm-hmm. You might be lucky. You might be one of the first that they get to. Awesome. Congratulations. Good for you.
Yep.
But more often than not, you are going to be waiting, and you're going to be waiting without gas. And I know it's probably going to be like, man, if I just turn on for a bit. No, you can't do it. You don't know what kind of damage is being done. You underground, you can't see it. You just don't know.
It's in your house, you know, it's one of those things. You got to be careful. And I know there's going to be plenty of our listeners that are plenty handy out there. They're going, I'm just going to make sure I know how to reset it. I get that. It's your house. It's your side of the meter. I fully understand that. At the same point, do you have the tools to really inspect things to make sure you don't have a gas leak in the wall?
The entire line,
yeah,
all the lines.
Make sure you don't have a way to, you know, make sure you know how to test that and make sure you know you're going to be good. So that's the plus and minus with that. And then really start thinking about how you have the knickknacks and things around your house, you know? I mean, you know, the wall cabinets, for instance, in your house, those dishes end up on the floor in an earthquake. So
like
make
hutches
sure
and,
hutches
yeah.
and again, tie those off, but make sure that maybe, you know, you can get some of that museum wax to make sure that the vases are down on the table correctly and they'll stick down there and you got a better chance of it staying there. Those things that fly around. I mean, I had a great example when I, in my house in Gig Harbor, when I lived up there outside of Seattle, I had a glass, you know, those little floating, this was, you know, 20 years ago, but yeah, those little floating shelves that you could put up there, almost like a little cherub, almost shelves things that looked like they were, anyway, they just held a little tiny thing on them. I had a picture of my kids on there, right? And that was a glass framed picture frame.
How big?
3x5.
Okay.
Not big.
Yeah.
Frame was broken from the earthquake because those two got bound up together when things were bouncing around. Now, didn't fall. And it just shows you how little things like that can break. So make sure that you've got things kind of safely put away. Make sure that in the garage, you have things stacked too high. You know, make sure that if you're a hoarder, make sure you don't have stuff stacked up too high because that could end up being a deadly situation. So make sure that you or your family or your friends, you know, don't have things that are in a dangerous situation. And that'll really help you out. But again, have the flashlights, have the food, all the normal storm prep disaster stuff, whether it's a hurricane, any of that stuff, you're going to probably do okay. But expect to not have water. Expect not to have natural gas. You might have power. Maybe.
I would prepare with lanterns, like camping not propane, not gas lanterns, but, you know, the little
battery powered ones, rechargeable.
Or even like the solar ones that I've seen as well.
Yeah, those can be good. You can put those outside during the day, and those work good too, as well. So just think of those really simple, easy prep things that work well. And if you've got, you know, you've got your family. So let's say you've got a family at home. What happens when this happens, maybe during the workday?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always assume it's going to happen when you're home. What happens when you're out in the car? Do you have a way to get home? What happens if you're stuck in your car at work? Do you have food? Do you have some provisions in your car for snacks?
Also, say maybe you're at work when this happens and your kids are at school.
Do you What's the plan?
And you can't get to them and your phone's down and you can't contact them. What is your family going to do in that situation?
Yeah, what is the plan during the natural disaster? This is one of those good dinner table conversations to have. Okay, where is our absolute perfect meeting place? Is it someone's work? Is it the school? Is it the house?
The park?
Yeah, where's it going to be? And just make sure it's going to be in a safe space and that you're not stepping on other people. But if you've got those safe meeting places, it's just like your fire safety stuff. Have your safe meeting place where everybody meets up to make sure you get anything. Do you have extra dog food? Do you have extra cat food? Do you have stuff for the pets? All those things. Make sure you're tied up with all those little details, and you're going to be good to go.
It's better to need it and to
have it.
To have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. There
Correct.
We go.
There you go. Well, hey, coming up in the next hour of Around the House with Eric G., you don't want to turn away from this one because we have a big show ahead. We're going to talk kitchen and bathroom design trends. Let's talk about what the future looks like for both of those rooms just as soon as Around the House returns.
it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.